Welcome to another episode of Hustle Hard, the podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Witt, and I believe that success should be earned and not given. And if you do too, but you're currently underachieving personally or professionally, for one reason or another, then the athletes, entertainers, and fitness experts I interview can motivate you today to do more tomorrow, because they've dedicated their lives day after day and year after year to achieving their goals. So be inspired, take their behaviours and apply their principles to improve your life, physically, mentally, at home or at work. My guest this week, a man who is so much more than the black gay swimmer who is often called, a trailblazer as Jamaica's first openly gay athlete, a national record holder who also represented Great Britain, a survivor of the Manchester Arena bombing, who since retiring from the sport 2 years ago has been on a mission to champion equality and mental health in sport and inspire more people of colour to start swimming. Uncomfortable in his own skin at times, racism, homophobia and death threats, this guy's been through a lot and he's still smiling. Welcome, Michael Gunning, athlete, media host, motivational speaker. What moniker are we going by now? Where are we at? What do we call you, refer to you as?
Well, now I'm a former swimmer, which is crazy. I'm at the other side now.
I feel like, judging from your social posts and stuff, I feel like you're missing the competitiveness. I feel like, how old are you now? 29?
29, yeah.
I get the impression from the outside looking in that you're really missing swimming and the competitive nature of it.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's been part of my life for so long. And I knew when I retired, it was the right time and I was really ready for what's next. But I think, you know, especially with the Olympic Games this year, I love traveling around the world, being with my team, pushing my body really hard. And I think I just haven't really got that fitness motivation at the minute to really, you know, go to the gym for an hour every day. You know, I really do just miss just waking up and just going to the pool naturally and it just being part of my routine. So, yeah, I definitely do miss it. But I think I'm still keeping my ties to the swimming world and, you know, I still love swimming for sure.
I fucking hate it, mate. I'm so bad at swimming. You're probably not the best person to say it to. So I'm doing a triathlon in May. Ironman triathlons, and the swimming is absolutely killing me. It's so hard. Like you just mentioned then, like going every day, like you're having the motivation to do it and stuff. Obviously based on my schedule at the minute, I'm going every weekend, and I started the actual swimming aspect of my training in January.
Okay.
And I got in the pool and I couldn't even do two lengths without stopping. But now, like I said, I've been doing it every weekend and I'm swimming over a mile now without stopping. In your expert opinion, yeah. So I'm in my third month now of swimming twice a week and I'm now swimming over a mile without stopping. Bearing in mind, I'm an old man as well. I'm 37. I've got nearly a decade.
That's
on you.
Oh,
what do you think? Does that sound like it's good? Good level of progress from where I started?
Oh, definitely. I think swimming's all about kind of familiarization with the water. You know, every kind of summer we'd have like 2 or 3 weeks off in like August time, and actually coming back in September, even us as swimmers, you know, kind of being in the water 25 hours a week in the pool, you know, we felt like we forgot how to swim. You know, you forget how the technique goes. And honestly, I think swimming's all about just keeping going, keeping in the water, keeping that familiarization with the water. And then, yeah, then you're winning.
It's so tough though, isn't it? Like, by the time Saturday evening rolls around after my first swim on the Saturday morning, I can't keep my eyes open after 6 o'clock. It drains you so much. Like how you become like a professional swimmer and do it for a living is beyond me. So I take my hat off to you, but no wonder you've retired so early, because I get it.
Yeah, I think for me, I started off so early. You know, I learned to swim when I was 4. I joined a swimming club when I was 7. So I think from the age of 7, it was right kind of going to the pool this many times a week and competitions. And I think, yeah, for me, I feel like I have done it all my life. So yeah, it's just something that was second nature to me. But I think it's very tough, you know, especially now when adults are learning to swim for the first time. It's not easy at all. And I think I've definitely taken that for granted, of learning at that young age and then just obviously going through to the age of 29.
You know, we just touched on like how you're missing the competitive side of it. Does that have anything to do with it being Olympics just around the corner, do you think?
I think so. Yeah, coming into Olympic year, normally I have all of my goals set out. I know what each month consists of, with competitions, with training, with tapering, with nutrition. So I think coming into this year, especially in January, felt a little bit lost. And I think all athletes feel that. I really do. I think it is a tough transition. I retired in 2022. So actually, it was quite a while ago now. Time's flying by. But I think actually knowing what this year means to so many athletes, because you train day in, day out for this moment. I think being an Olympic year and kind of not having necessarily those set goals. Obviously, I've got different goals outside of the water, but I think it's not the same as swimming.
I mean, let's talk about some of those goals. You said you've been retired since 2022, so a couple of years now. You've obviously got this new life now, where you're making it your mission, shall we say, to champion equality and diversity and inclusion in sport and in swimming. It's like it seems to be at the forefront of everything you do.
Yeah, definitely. I think I just want to really help society, make the world a better place. I know that sounds really cliche, but you know, I think with the platform that I had from swimming, I think people are inspired by me, which is amazing, especially in that swimming community. But I think I've definitely seen it in the LGBT community as well. And being a person of colour, I think this is so great when I speak to different people, because people take something away from my personality, from my race, from my sexuality, and me being so open. So I think I feel so fortunate that I've just done the sport that I love, and I've managed to inspire people whilst doing it. So now it's almost like, right, how else can I help? How else can I inspire? And I think that's kind of what gets me up in the morning and what makes me so motivated just to help the world.
And what is the actual roles that you're taking on the mix? Are you like an ambassador?
Yeah, so I'm a Speedo ambassador, firstly, which is great. So kind of helping the lower end kind of grassroots of sport and learning to swim, but obviously also the elite, kind of helping the elite kind of team, with the British Elite Athletes Association as well. I'm supporting all the world-class athletes kind of heading into the Olympics. So I feel like I'm very much still in sport. And then I think away from sport, I'm also a Stonewall ambassador, so kind of helping the LGBT movement. So yeah, lots of different things going on. But I think for me, obviously, I'm not just that kind of black and white person. There's so many different elements, so many different colours that I just kind of want to help make a change in. And I think, yeah, I feel very fortunate that I've kind of got my hands in so many different things at the minute.
Yeah, there's a lot going on from what I see on the socials and stuff. But you really... really hoping to be involved in the actual games in some capacity as well, aren't you? Have you got any news on that?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, that TV side, I'd love to still be there and be talking about it and be part of it all. Still not 100% pinned down what I'll be doing there. I know they have a Pride House there, which I was kind of heavily involved with Pride House Birmingham for the Commonwealth Games. So I think for me, yeah, I was really kind of passionate about getting involved with Pride House Paris and making sure that everyone that comes to Paris feels safe and accepted. So I think I'll definitely be there for that in a work capacity. I'd love to do something and definitely be involved with all the action. So yeah, we'll see. Watch this space.
you just mentioned then you want to make sure that every athlete traveling to Paris feels comfortable with who they are or whatever. And how many athletes, in your opinion, do you think could like secretly be gay, or like rough estimate, because there's going to be thousands of athletes going there, isn't there? And there's going to be some gay athletes that are closeted, shall we say.
Yeah.
Would it be a small number, or are we talking in the hundreds? Because obviously we don't know, because everyone's scared to come out.
I think it's really hard to put a number on it. I don't have facts with me right now, but I know for like the Commonwealth Games, I think there was, you know, over 60 athletes that were openly LGBT, which obviously that's just the Commonwealth countries, which I think...
That seems to me, obviously I don't know, but that seems like quite a lot that were out already.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think
that's a very large number when you consider like football, for example. There's not like one openly gay Premier League player, is there?
Yeah, honestly, I think every year more and more athletes feel like they can be themselves. So obviously, kind of when we get our accreditation, we basically have the option to put down, you know, we fill out our names and our biographies, and we can just put down, it's not used anywhere, but we can put down our sexuality. And I think for so many, you know, years, I always used to I prefer not to say, but I think now more and more athletes are feeling like they can tick the gay or lesbian or, you know, whatever, however they identify, which I think is amazing. So I genuinely feel like this Olympics, we're going to have the most out athletes ever, which is just amazing.
Are you taking any credit for that? Be serious.
You know what? Even just a couple of people, like if I could have inspired...
Effectively, that would you be doing your job, wouldn't it?
Definitely. Yeah.
Is that how you feel? Yeah. So basically the more athletes that come out before or during the games will make you happy, essentially.
Yeah. I think just, you know, and for me, it's about allyship as well. Like, I think actually people in the village talking about it, having these conversations, accepting everyone, because it is so, so important. But yeah, ultimately, you know, we want, say, not everyone, but obviously as many people as, you know, if they are part of that community, to feel like they can talk about it and to feel like, you know, they can speak openly about it.
Well, that's another issue. I think that we live in a world now that's more accepting of the LGBT community than ever. But then on the flip side, it's also just as bad as it's ever been in certain countries and places, isn't it? Surely there will be athletes going there from some countries where being gay is punishable by death still, or there's, you know, and they're just shit scared, and they wouldn't dare come out no matter what, because when they go home, they'll have hell to pay. It can't be easy for a sports person going through this right now with the Olympics coming up, can it? And I say this to you because obviously you came out whilst you were still a professional athlete. So
yeah.
what's your take on that?
Oh, I think it's extremely hard. I think, you know, going to a country where it is illegal or there are different laws in place, I think already, you know, I was definitely advised so many times to walk differently, dress differently, you know, kind of hide those different parts of myself just for my own safety, which no one should ever feel like they have to do that. But ultimately...
Sorry to interrupt again. I saw that quote. You got told, was it in Dubai at a swimming competition, you got told to walk differently?
Yeah.
What is that? Is that because a police officer might see and think he's gay and arrest you or something? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think, yeah, the risk element of, you know, so many countries when those laws are in place, like, who knows, you know, what could happen.
That's mad, isn't it? That is mad.
I know. I've always felt very safe in, you know, big competitions, obviously with, like, governing bodies, protecting everyone and all the athletes. But, you know, ultimately, when you go into little local competitions in those countries, like, it's, you know, it's scary. And... I think, yeah, ultimately, you know, I know that Kaleidoscope Trust, the charity, are doing some amazing work kind of speaking to government and seeing what we can do about it. But, you know, ultimately, Ghana have just put this horrific legislation in place now that, you know, imprisons allies, people supporting the community. And again,
where's this Ghana?
Yeah.
See, that's when did this legislation come into play?
Like a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. So,
wow.
And it's,
This is what I'm getting at. You see, like, here and some other countries close to us, it's better than ever. But then you hear stuff like that, it's worse than ever, isn't it? Like, it's just...
I know. And I think this is where, you know, there's been protests, but ultimately, you know, if you can't even support somebody who's struggling with their sexuality because you might be put in prison, you know, I think we're going backwards. So, you know, we really need to kind of pull together as, you know, in the whole world, every country needs to pull together and see what we can really do for one another, because this is not just your country has this issue and we're doing something different. It's about pulling together.
You've been obviously teasing some sort of secret project. I saw you on Sky News with Anthony Ogogo a couple of weeks back. What's going on? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I have been commissioned a short series with Sky Sports, which is amazing. I've never produced, I've never directed anything before. I've always kind of just shown up on like different programs, and, you know, I know my time and I kind of go on, and it's great to be, you know, in front of the camera and being part of it. But actually with Sky, they've trusted me and given me just the free rein to basically do something that I'm really passionate about. So can't tell you too much, but later this year before Olympics, there's going to be some amazing episodes out of me with other athletes, basically challenging people's perceptions of what sports are like. I think, you know, not many people actually know what, you know, the hard work that goes into sport and actually what it's like every day. So I really want to try and uncover that, but kind of move away from
it. Is it not LG BTQ related? Is it on sport in general, or have you got the other element to it as well? Is it
sport in general? Yeah, I think, you know, for so many years I've been labelled as, you know, the gay black swimmer, and I'm just a swimmer. You know, I think, you know, Jake Daniels, for example, he's an amazing footballer, but at the minute he's being seen as that, you know, the first gay footballer. But actually, he's just a footballer. So I really want to try, you know, with these different athletes that I've got, just to show people that they're just athletes. They're just, you know, who they are, who they're training hard, and, you know, they're great for their sport. And I really want to try and uncover that in the series.
So it's a behind the scenes with athletes who are going to be competing at the games. Have you started filming it already? So you've gone like behind the scenes on the training with the athletes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They're not all Olympic athletes. Some of them are not. But yeah, I think it's just I wanted to bring something fresh to screen, something a little bit entertaining as well. Mm. Yeah, I might even be trying some sports, which would be quite cool.
non-water related sports?
Yeah.
Okay.
Honestly, if anyone, I can't do any other sport. Anyone that knows me, if you throw me a ball, I probably won't be able to catch it. So, yeah, I'm definitely taking myself out of my comfort zone. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Really enjoying it.
And when can we expect? You said it's a series, didn't you? When can we expect it? And what Sky Channel is it going to be on?
Yes, it's going to be out in June. And
oh, not long then.
Yeah, not long.
Very exciting, Michael, isn't it?
So again, watch this space.
You were obviously part of Team GB for a certain number of years.
10 years
as a professional athlete on Team GB. And then you've changed over to Jamaica. You've got dual citizenship, haven't you? Jamaica, am I right in saying that gay sex is illegal?
Yes.
So yeah. Gay sex is illegal, and from what I read online, it's one of the most dangerously homophobic countries on the planet, essentially. So why did you decide to represent them and then come out when doing so?
Yeah, so my dad's Jamaican and my mum's British, and I always used to go back to Jamaica for family holidays in the summer or different, you know, times in the year. And I think everyone out there were like, why don't you swim for Jamaica? Obviously not really knowing my sexuality. I'd never spoken really about it before. And I think me going to being part of the Manchester arena where unfortunately the explosion went off in the Ariana Grande concert, I think just really changed my perspective.
The terrorist bombing 2017, was it?
Yeah, 2017. Yep. It just changed my whole perception on why I'm doing sport. You know, I'm not an Olympic champion. I don't hold world records. I've got many national records, but I've not quite made it to, you know, the top six in the world yet. So I felt like actually there's so much more.
Hang on a minute. I don't think you should underplay yourself there either. You still represented Team GB and Jamaica. That's still elite level athlete, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I'm right to say that, really. To be on those squads, you're still an elite athlete in the first place.
It's hard because, you know, especially since retiring, I sometimes feel like I've definitely not achieved what I've wanted to in swimming, but actually I've achieved other things that I never really thought I would achieve and touched different people's lives that I never really thought I would, you know, influence. So I think, yeah, I'm very grateful, but I think in that moment I knew that kind of my message, my legacy was more than just winning medals. It was to help people. And, you know, Jamaica, I think Time magazine labelled it the most homophobic place on earth. I don't think it's the most homophobic place on earth. You know, you don't get arrested on the street for, you know, if you're...
That's why I thought I'd say I read online that rather than saying it myself because I wasn't too sure. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think we've come a long way. Jamaica's definitely come a long way. And I think me being that first openly gay athlete on a national team, I think that, you know, there's such a big community out there that suddenly so many people are getting in touch, telling me about their stories, opening up about their own experiences. And some of them are awful, but I think some of them are good as well. So I feel like, yeah, just by me doing it, while I was still competing, having that little bit of a platform, I think it's just helped some people. I got many hate messages, many death threats, many people saying that I bring shame on their country. I should have carried on representing Great Britain. But
this is from Jamaicans.
From Jamaicans.
Post coming out, which was 2018, was it?
2018, yeah. So I think that was hard, but actually I think the positives definitely outweighed the negatives, and it made me realise that what I was doing was changing lives ultimately.
Were there a lot of positives coming out of Jamaica, or and if so, were they fake positives? If that makes sense.
Yeah, to be fair, like most people on the national team asked me about it, asked me questions, and almost educated themselves when they were on the team because they understood it a little bit more. You know, I think unless there's somebody out there really kind of willing to sit down and help educate themselves, I don't think they necessarily understand, whereas they had that chance to really understand and they liked me as a person. Obviously, I was representing the country and doing well. So I felt like they had to try and understand. And I think most of them on the team did, which was an amazing experience, amazing opportunity. I think it's just hard to reach certain communities out in Jamaica at the moment, in many countries, because they're just not willing to listen.
Well, that does make a lot of sense what you just said, because obviously a lot of homophobia is going to be learned behavior, isn't it? A lot of these Jamaicans might have not met a gay person before.
Yeah.
So that's what you're saying. You was educating them, and you found that they was quite accepting of it, or do you think they would literally turn around when you're gone and be like, oh my God.
Yeah, you know, I think
did you get a sense of that in Jamaica, like, on it, truthfully?
I think a little bit of both. I think a lot of them were quite surprised at how normal I was. You know, and I think it's, you know, I'm laughing because it's just insane that people think that a gay community or the gay community is any different to everyone else. You know, we are just normal human beings that just happen to fall in love with another sex, you know? So I think it's crazy how their mind works. But obviously religion plays a big part to play. And I think the people that maybe did turn around and, you know, wasn't too happy about it, wasn't too pleased and would kind of go around and with that negative attitude, I think a part of it is religion. A part of it is just what they've grown up knowing, which is, yeah, it's really hard. It's really hard to change that. And I think that's why it's taken so long to kind of legalize same-sex marriage and relationships. And yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, we've already said we've come so far, but there's still so far to go as well, isn't there? But I mean, I watched the doco you did with Tom Dale, where you get your phone out, and some of those messages are absolutely shocking, aren't they? Like, you must have literally been scared, because some of these people possibly aren't joking, are they, with some of the stuff they're saying to you? What other ones? How many of those types of messages were there? Because obviously you're filming this program and you've got a certain amount of time to talk about it. You only showed mentioned a few messages. Was there a lot more like that?
Yeah, no, there were a lot of hate comments, but I think I felt safe because obviously I live in the UK. I think if I lived in Jamaica, I would have been a lot more petrified than, you know, I am kind of sitting here in the UK looking at my phone and reading them. You know, I think sometimes it just really hits home of the people out in Jamaica that do live there on a daily basis and have to deal with this, because,
you know, gay people that live in Jamaica.
Yeah. Anyone that's LGBT out there, I think, you know, to actually come out and to have to face that hate every day in person, probably bullying for the young communities, I think it's heartbreaking.
Speaking of Tom Daly, he's been a massive influence on your life, hasn't he? Like, you're genuinely good pals. Is this from your Team GB days? He's really helped you along the way, hasn't he?
Yeah, so we trained at the London Aquatic Centre together, and I think he showed me how to love myself, basically, you know, taking me to my first gay club and just learning to accept who I was as a person. We lived such strict lifestyles, you know, we didn't really drink too much, we had early nights, and I think for me, my identity was me being a swimmer. I never really wanted to be seen or called names as anything else. So for me, you know, I was Michael the swimmer, and I think it was nice that Tom could almost allow me to learn what Michael is away from being just the swimmer.
Separating the person from the athlete, shall we say?
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, and I guess the importance of that as well, because actually, you know, when things don't go your way and you do feel bad after a swimming race because you don't race well, I had nothing else to fall back onto. You know, I was a little bit insecure about obviously my sexuality, but also my race in swimming. You know, there wasn't many people that looked like me. And, you know, I feel like there were so many doubts in my head that saying I wasn't good enough that, you know, I think in those dark days, you start to believe them. So, yeah, I think kind of that journey and Tom and the community that he opened me up to just allowed me to learn that there's more than just the swimmer. There's more than just what people say. Actually, there's so much more to give in the world, and enjoy yourself. And yeah, swimming's not the be all and end all.
You know, at the start of this chat, we mentioned the ambassador work you're doing and stuff. What did you say about getting people involved? And was it young kids, getting young kids involved into swimming and that? Did you say that's something that you're doing?
Yeah.
You said just then, obviously there's not a lot of kids that swim that look like you. When you do this work that you're doing now, doing the diversity and inclusion, how many black kids are there?
A lot more, which is good. Still not an even balance, but obviously, you know, I think people have different sports, and I think, you know, people think, oh, it's got to be a good balance, and even in corporate workspaces, oh, it's got to be 50-50. Like, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just really saying that, you know, I don't want kind of walk into a class or a swimming lesson and see, you know, people of colour sitting on the side because they don't want to do it or they're, you know, they've been told not to do it. You know, I just really want to try and make those opportunities equal for everyone. And yeah, we're still again on another journey with that. But I think it's a lot better than when I was kind of learning out to swim and I was starting off, which is so great to see.
Who is to blame for people that look like you, shall we say, not getting involved in swimming and stuff? Just to add to it, so you're a gay athlete and you've had to deal with all this homophobia, which you've been very open of speaking about.
Yeah,
but you're black too, and you've also been subjected to a lot of racism in a sporting capacity, because there's that saying, isn't there, that black people can't swim, and you were competing as a black gay man, as you said earlier, was it the black gay swimmer or whatever?
Yeah.
In what is predominantly a straight white world, shall we say. So I'm a straight white man, so I can't imagine how difficult things must have been for you at times. But who is to blame for the never mind the gay thing? I mean, the young black kids not swimming in the first place. Is it the families? Is it black families saying to the kids, no, we don't swim? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's just from generation to generation. And I think when there's no role models and you watch the television screen and you don't see anyone looking like you or, you know, being of colour, I think you think, oh, well, maybe that sport's not for me. Let's do something that I will succeed at. And I think I had that a lot where, you know, I speak to a lot of parents and they're like, well, you know, we don't want to set our children up to fail. We don't want to set our friends up to fail. So we would do so, we'd encourage them to do something that they won't fail at. So I think when you don't have that representation, you know, on TV screens, on, you know, at the Olympics and World Championships, I think it's hard because it almost kills people's dreams because they can't almost imagine themselves doing it. You know, I'm a big believer in if you can see it, you can be it. And I think for so many years, you know, I would kind of take my national medals into school and go, look, I can swim, like I am quite good at this. And then they believe me, but I shouldn't have had to have done that. You know, people should have just accepted me, really. Yeah.
You've told people that you were just like an athlete or a runner in the past, haven't you? Because you just didn't want to say, it was like too, if you was to say to them, oh, I'm a swimmer, they'd be like, fuck off. Do you know what I mean? Is that you genuinely used to say runner, didn't you, to some people?
Yeah, you've done the research. That's crazy.
Of course I have. I'm a professional.
Yeah. You know what? I think kind of going around in a game environment, so like obviously, like, you know, the World Championships, you're in like an athlete's village. We always enjoy kind of guessing what athlete does what sport. And I think, you know, for so many years actually walking around, people kind of was so serious and going, you can't be a swimmer. You can't be a swimmer. And, you know, I think sometimes in those instances, as I just said, okay, you know, I'll kind of go along with whatever you think I am rather than argue and try and justify why I am swimming, why I am a swimmer. So, yeah, it's a weird experience.
Is that comments that you've actively been on the end of then, where you've told someone you're a swimmer and they're like, what, really? And that will purely be because of the colour of your skin, won't it? So would you see that as racist or just someone's uneducated response? Like, how do you take that when it's happened?
Yeah, to be honest, I think I'm very used to it. And I think, you know, we all prejudge. I think even when we don't mean to. I think somebody said to me the other day that they could do the splits. And I was like, no way. And I had to see it to actually know that they could. Right. So I think, you know, I don't really take it as a negative. I just think sometimes, obviously, it's not worth your energy if it's something that, you know, like race, that is really, really personal. You know, I did struggle with it for many years. But I think now I'm fine and I just kind of know what type of world and industry we're in where people just prejudge. But I think I love proving people wrong. I think that's been kind of my main, I don't even know what the word is, like drive, I guess.
Drive.
I wanted to prove people wrong all the time. When somebody said I couldn't do something, it was almost like, watch this, you know, let me prove you wrong. So I think that's been like my main driving force throughout my whole career.
So I bet that made you a better athlete in some ways, didn't it? You know, like you said, everything that you've been through, sort of spurring you on to work even harder, and like you say, to prove not just to yourself but to other people that you are a fucking elite swimmer, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
That gives you that. I bet it gives you. I know if the shoes on the other foot, it was me, I'd want to shut people up, and I'd want to, I'm an elite swimmer, mate. Do you know what I mean? So I suppose it does come into it, doesn't it?
I think it gives you that kind of, like, you know, like I said, drive in the morning to get up. Who wants to dive into a pool at 5 a.m. when it's cold and, you know, you've not really woken up yet? But I think for me, it was knowing that I was doing something that not many other people were doing, and it was special.
Yeah, not 5 a.m, mate. Half seven it'll be for me tomorrow. But so the Tom Daly doco. You said that, when was that filmed? 2022, was it?
That was, yes, just after my retirement, yeah.
So you said to him then that you would love to be straight and that you're not 100% happy to be who you are. So this is now 2024.
Yeah.
2 years after we've retired, all the work that you've done since filming that doco, raising awareness, championing diversity and inclusion and mental health in sport, et cetera, I want to ask you honestly now, is that, do you still feel like that in any way at all?
Oh, I think it comes in waves. You know, I think I always wonder what it would be like to, you know, be a white straight person, because I feel like I've always kind of been hit with different challenges. But I think now I've kind of retired from sport and swimming, I think it's nice to kind of give back in other ways to try and help that not be the case for so many people. But yeah, I'm unhappy being Michael right now. I think seeing the changes and being part of the change, I think it's been really special. But I think, yeah, for so many years I really did struggle. And I think as well, like, especially in this industry, like, now obviously I want to step into media, I think it's hard sometimes being really quiet and then suddenly Pride Month comes around or LGBT History Month comes around, and then, you know, I don't have a single day free and I'm running myself into the ground and I feel absolutely knackered and I start to get ill. And I'm like, you know, I'm around all year. Like, it doesn't have to just be LGBT History Month or Pride Month. It can be all year round. Mm. And I think it's just really trying to show that. And, you know, I think now and more we're seeing it. We're seeing more people, LGBT community, obviously for Black History Month, actually we're talking about Black history every single month, which I think is amazing. So I'm definitely seeing the progress, because yeah, I think it was quite crazy a couple of years where Pride Month was just beaming and I was kind of running myself into the ground.
Hypothetically, where do you think you'd be today if you hadn't have come out? Ooh. You came out obviously as a professional athlete. I don't know if coming out had anything to do with your retirement or that was the plan anyway or whatever, but where would you be at if you were still competing, or would you still be competing if you hadn't come out? Like, where do you think you'd be at mentally? I say this because of the work you're doing now, and there might be some athletes that haven't come out that are thinking about it and going through what you went through. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I would have retired a lot earlier. I don't think I would have gone to, the year 2022 if I hadn't have come out in 2018. I think it was very tough because I was very close to stopping swimming anyway, and, you know, kind of asking myself, why am I doing this? Am I really enjoying it as much?
And this was, that had nothing to do with being gay. That had from just literally purely from a athlete's perspective, or
yeah. But I think as well, you know, hiding my sexuality and always kind of showing up and not really being my 100% self had a massive contributing kind of factor to that. So I feel like when I did come out, I could enjoy it again and I could have a laugh and I wasn't hiding anything and I could just be myself. And I think that almost made me enjoy swimming more and made me carry on swimming. So I think, yeah, if I wasn't out right now, I think I would have stopped swimming a long time ago, and I would be very insecure and probably be very lost in life. So, you know, I think, you know, as well, I'm not one of those people that people need to come out. Like, I'm very much of, you know, you come out when you're ready, but if you can come out in sport, if you are struggling, it's a massive weight off your shoulders. And I think, yeah, it can help so many people's careers, their jobs, that, you know, their life environments. I really do think it's such a positive thing. And I know that not everyone has that positive experience, but I think for me, especially in sport, having the platform to talk about some of these things, I think has kind of helped me with my almost therapy with accepting and finding other people's stories. Yeah, I think it's definitely helped me.
Yeah, I think it's quite a positive message as well, what you just said then about it lifted a massive weight off your shoulders. And effectively made you competing for a lot longer. So I think if there's other people in a similar position that do hear that, then that's might make them think again if they're, you know, struggling and bottling stuff up. So take my hat off to you, mate. And, you know, you've obviously been through a lot of deep shit, shall we say, and you've spoken about a lot of it today with a massive smile on your face. Yeah. I think that says a lot about your character and you as a man. Do you know what I mean? And it genuinely has been a privilege to speak to you today. But get your motivational speaker head on.
Yeah.
Can you hit me with some final words of wisdom or advice? I don't want you to target anyone specific either with your message, just general life advice, given everything you've experienced for anyone, whether they're young, old, black, white, straight, gay, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, what would your message be? Have you seen One Day on Netflix?
No, my missus has. She loves it. I haven't seen
it yet. Oh, my goodness. So I think that really puts life into perspective of how you've got to cherish each and every day. Everyone's on their own journeys. Everyone's on highs and lows, and life goes quickly. So I think my best piece of motivational advice is live in the moment, take opportunities, and don't let anyone dampen your shine, because everyone is shining. Everyone has the opportunity to shine. But I think society and life sometimes gets you down. It tries to put out your flame, put out your light, but don't let anyone rise above it and keep shining, because every single second counts.
It's been a pleasure, mate. Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for listening. Please don't forget to like, share, comment and subscribe. Follow Hustle Hard the podcast on Instagram. And if you have any suggestions on how you think I can improve the show or who you think I should be interviewing, then please drop me an email at ash.hustlehard@gmail.com. Nice one.